get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning, America. It is a gorgeous day out there today. Sunshine. We just can't see it because of the fog. But above that fog, we can see your rights burning with law. Why did a 14-year-old kill herself? Could the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office here in Detroit, could they have done anything to save the life of this little girl? We'll discuss the tragedy of now what this infamous case is out of here locally. And I'll tell you how the life of this teen could have been saved. If you're gay, are you gay and in the military? Should you salute your superior officer or tell him you're gay? Well, we'll discuss what the U.S. Supreme Court is saying right now, just as of today, and how that affects our men and women in our armed forces. Local, national crimes, we'll cover it all. Your questions, and we'll get to what's making the news all around town and throughout this great country of ours. Plus, we might have a special guest today and an opinion on what we can do with the negligent actions of the prosecutor's office. Can anybody ever recover damages for their negligence? You stay tuned. You call us at 248-848-1310, and you join the conversation. This is Crime Time Live.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Steven totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And...
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder... Not even the whole arm, just the shoulder. And he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. Well, if you're gay and you're in the military, what is going on with your rights? What are you supposed to do? Does that don't ask, don't tell policy, is it still in a place? Is it still hanging around? Are they still confining what you do by an old age, by a old policy to keep you shut up? Well, we'll find out what's going on with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, as of yesterday, that's on Friday, allowed the don't ask, don't tell policy on gays in the military to what? That's right, remain in place while a federal court considers the issue. They said, we're not even going to tell you what is going to happen. We're not going to tell you what we're thinking about now, but the old policy, it's going to stay in effect. The court did not comment in denying a request from what's called the Log Cabin Republicans, of course, a gay rights group, to step into the ongoing federal court and review the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. The Obama administration urged the high court not to get involved. So Obama's administration, our elected officials, the control of the executive branch is saying, you know what, until we get a ruling on this federal court, we're going to keep this arcane, this restrictive policy of basically shutting people up in place. Last month, the federal judge ruled that the policy of don't ask, don't tell violated the civil rights of gay Americans. And she issued an injunction barring the Pentagon from applying it. But no, they don't care about that. They're saying, let's keep that in place, that arcane policy, while we discuss what's going on. The San Francisco Appeals Court said that the policy could remain in effect while it considers the appeal. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you really think that when you have a specific way of being, I can't even express a better way of saying that if you're gay, it's who you are. Or you might sit there and say it's a choice because you can be gay and choose not to act that way. You can be heterosexual and you can choose not to act that way. And while that is true, you're not being true to who you are. Your civil rights of what you are and what how you can be in this country, how you can exist naturally, is being suppressed. And the military, because it's a governmental-run entity, you're working for the military for how many years now, has held this arcane policy of saying, you know what, it's too much trouble to deal with your own feelings of what you feel you are. So keep them to yourself and pretend, and we'll all pretend, that we don't care. We won't ask and you don't tell. If you think that's right, you call me at 248-848-1310 and you tell me where you think that is the way it should be. Should we have and allow the military, our government, to suppress our right to express what we are, what we feel, simply because they feel it's too complicated to deal with that issue? So keep it to yourself if you work for the military. I mean, there are definitely people that believe it. I mean, it was in place for what? Many, many years. It's still in place. You got a court of appeals. You got a ruling in the lower court saying that it is unconstitutional. But no, we still keep it in place until we have that final word from the Supreme Court. And I don't know. I feel that I can understand that it can cause problems. You can have a gay man in the military with a whole barracks of other non-gay men, and the government's concerned about how that's going to affect their performance. Perhaps safety. I don't know. But I do know that it should be your constitutional right to tell them that you're gay. Oh, you might be. You might not want to do it. They shouldn't have to force you to go through a sex exam and say, okay, who's gay, who's not, but you should be able to say it. And you should be able to not have to say it. See, that's the difference. They should let the choice up to the individual, not a policy by the government. Not a policy by old men hanging out in Washington who's afraid of what's going to happen in a barracks 5,000 miles away. You call me at 248-848-1310. If you want to join that discussion, if you feel that that is something that I'm wrong about, you tell me. Hey, I could be wrong. There's nothing to say that the government, simply because they have the policy, is right. That is for sure. Did you hear about those suspects trying to smuggle drugs to the airport? You got to hear this. In New York, in a pair of unrelated incidents, three suspects were apprehended at a New York area airport within days of each other for attempting, listen to this, to smuggle $1.4 million worth of cocaine and heroin through customs, the federal officials say. In the first incident, this is just a couple days ago, a woman was found with 30 pounds of cocaine hidden in wooden hangers and clothing. 30 pounds of cocaine. Do you know how much that is? They prosecute people for a couple grams of cocaine. This is 30 pounds of cocaine. The woman was selected for routine baggage inspection upon her arrival, of course, from Costa Rica. You know, that's probably your first indication. In addition to hidden cocaine, her clothing was soaked in liquid cocaine, which actually is a very common way to bring drugs in from other countries. It said it put the value of the narcotics of more than $660,000. Customs and Border officials selected two men. Now, this is another incident of JFK, Jeffrey Penn and Edwin Ortiz, for an examination. Because you never know. I mean, they randomly select you. And they found clothing in their suitcase which seemed particularly heavy. Now, listen to this. So they thought the clothes were heavy, and upon further inspection, they found brown powdery substance, of course, heroin, in their pants and then their shorts. 16 pounds of heroin in their pants and shorts. That's a lot of heroin in your underwear, my friend. What is going on with trying to bring drugs through the airports that way? Do you think that we should have more examination or less examination? You know, they have these x-ray machines now, right, that can see you naked, that can allegedly at least see you, everything that's going on underneath your clothes, right? And you have to go through them, or they have a right to do a physical inspection of you in a separate area. They pat you down, and believe me, it's intrusive. Anybody that's ever gone over to Windsor and had a naked search, a cavity search, you know how intrusive that could be. But whether they're going to do a cavity search on you if you refuse to go through this new x-ray machine or not, man, I tell you, it is getting way more intrusive on your rights. And you can sit there and say, yeah, but if not, you wouldn't have found this, what, 30 pounds of cocaine and 16 pounds of heroin. Okay, well, that's true. But what about the normal grandmother is going through and she's independently selected to get physically searched? Do you think that's wrong? Do you think our rush to try and find terrorists and drug offenders is offending our personal rights? Is it a personal offense if they're being that intrusive when they're looking for drugs and cocaine and terrorists? You call me at 248-848-1310 and you let me know whether or not our government is getting too intrusive on our rights. Our old friend Ken from Warren, what do you got to say about that?
Hey, man, I spent 6 years on active duty in the Navy and almost 4 years in the reserves. And in all that time, not once did I ever see anybody who was acting openly gay. And let me tell you something else. I spent a lot of time out at sea. And when you're working on a ship, and I don't know about the Army or the Marines, but I can speak from the Navy standpoint, nobody cares if you were gay. You're too tired. You're too busy. You got too many other things going to worry about whether some guy is snuggling up with somebody else in some secret place where nobody sees them. So, nobody cares.
So
and everybody
think...
in the military, you know, this thing about anti-gay stuff in the military, this is just stuff that works on the mind of these old people.
They're
you know
the ones in Washington, Ken, that are
right.
Making the rules. They're not on the front lines. So do you think that we should have this don't ask, don't tell?
Most of them weren't even in the military.
You don't think what?
I don't think most of them probably were never even in the military.
Well, you mean the lawmakers?
Yeah.
But do you think we should have?
Listen to these politicians and these locals and these conservative groups and these religious fanatics telling them about how immoral we're going to be if some guy has a boyfriend or something. Well, I'm telling you, the guys in the military, and from, you know, now it's even more modern and more women now. And who cares anyway? I'm telling you this: the person next to them, all they care about are you going to make my job harder or easier? That's all they care about, really. When it gets right down to it, are you going to cover my back? Yes or no?
And that's the way it should be. It should be protecting each other. But my question to you is this: should they keep don't tell me about what you feel? We won't ask you, and you don't tell. Should they get rid of it, or what you're saying is it doesn't matter because nobody cares anyway?
They should get rid of it, because here's why. Because these people that have enough courage to come out, and all they do is make a simple admission, they kick them out. You know, it isn't that they did any display or violated any type of code of conduct. They're just simply admitting, I'm gay, like this Dan Choi guy lately. He's probably the most public one now. He's on all the talk shows and stuff on TV. And, you know, he came out, they kicked. All he did was admit that he was gay. He didn't violate any code. He didn't, you know, not inappropriate behavior on the job. He just simply made the admission.
I definitely believe you're right, Ken. We lost Ken. But I do believe that Ken is correct. They make so much more out of it. Hey, listen, I salute those who take out of their lives time, effort, risk, and join in a voluntary military for years. I mean, you just got to take your hat off to these guys, men and women that do it. And then to kick them out because you find out a sexual preference, they're not pedophiles. They're not delinquents. No more than any heterosexual would be. These are people that have sexual desires that doesn't mean that they can't perform their job. Listen, you go get some guy that's a heterosexual, and because of his sexual desire, he can't perform his job, they should be kicked out. The same as if you're gay. But simply because you have a sexual preference, that they're going to kick you out of serving for your country? It's the most ridiculous thing. It is crazy to think that they ever came up with that. And yet here we are. We're still debating it. It's still in force. They haven't even changed it. They're trying to change it, but they haven't even changed it. Ken's right. They got better things to do when you're exhausted from 18-hour days of protecting your country than worrying about what the guy in the barracks wants to do on his free time. You call me at 248-848-1310. If you disagree, because I tell you, I'd love to hear how you think that is something that should still be in effect, that should still be weighing on the minds of an individual who joins our military, worried about, is he going to get kicked out because of what he wants to do in his private life? Give me a break. 248-848-1310. Did you hear about that Maryland official and his wife? Oh, this is a great, great story about government graft. Listen to this. A Maryland official and his wife hid money as the FBI approached him. Panicked as the FBI closed in this last Friday morning, Prince George County executive, so this is a county executive, right, who used to be a prosecutor, his name is Jack Johnson, and his wife, Leslie, raced to find a $100,000 check for an alleged kickback and then tried to do what? Flush it down the toilet. That's right. With agents knocking at the door, Leslie Johnson stuffed nearly $80,000 in her bra, trying to hide the money that they were getting in kickbacks. Hey, let me tell you something. When the FBI at the door, hello, wake up, let us in, what do? They're flushing checks down the toilet, and they're shoving money in their underwear. If that isn't crazy, if that isn't truth to straight in the fiction story, I don't know what is. It's crazy. When the FBI are at the door, my friend, it's too late to be hiding anything, I tell you that. Mike in Bloomfield, what do you got to say about gays in the military? You believe me or not?
No, I think it's a backwards perspective. I think you got to look at the perspective from the majority opinion.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
I was in the Navy for several years. If I had gone in an open gay policy where I've got to go ahead and change, you know, outfits or whatnot, and I've got about the same amount of space as your refrigerator takes up in a kitchen to change with five other guys, I just wouldn't have joined.
So you wouldn't have joined because you'd be afraid that they might do something? You're just embarrassed?
You know, it's not about fear. It's about being naked in a very confined area where somebody's, you know, right there ready to, all they got to do is reach.
Well, let's say that they had co-ed. I mean, I see your point about you're afraid because of you might think that they might want you. They might want to touch you. They might like if it's a woman there and you're getting naked in front of a woman that you might feel excited or aroused. And I get that could be an emotional issue. But does that mean that gays shouldn't serve or that they shouldn't tell that they are gay?
You know, it's not just an emotional issue. It's an issue of character. It's an issue of integrity. It's an issue of national security. When you've got something that the majority of Americans, the majority of people, are looking at that something that is perceived as bad, it's an easy blackmail target. And if you look at the statistics, it's enough to go ahead and there's a national security question here.
How is that a national security question if you have a guy that's next to you that's gay?
You ever heard of a thing called blackmail?
Why? Because they're gay, you might get blackmailed?
It's not an uncommon thing.
Well, I'd like to see the statistic. Thanks for the call. I'd like to see the statistic of where
you are like that. Naval Investigative Service.
Well, we'll go look that up, but I tell you, I've never heard of a national security issue because someone might be gay and getting undressed next to you. Somehow you are going to be worried that you're going to give up secrets, that somehow you're going to be blackmailed at some point, that there's going to be a picture taken of you next to a gay person, and therefore you should be held responsible because you had joined the military. I mean, I guess I see an issue on like Mike was talking about, with you feel uncomfortable that if someone is next to you and they're getting undressed in a space that's basically 2 feet wide and you don't know their sexual preference, or you know their sexual preference and it's the same sex, that you might feel uncomfortable. Is it any different than if you are sitting next to a woman and you're a heterosexual male? You don't want to get undressed next to them. So is the answer, would Mike say the answer would be to have separate living quarters? The gay people in one living quarter, the heterosexual in another? Is that what the military should do instead of having don't ask, don't tell? We should have them where they're separated like they used to be with blacks and whites? Like we have it segregated for our races? In a time gone by, should we segregate those who would be gay and those who would not be gay? Is that an answer? You call me at 248-848-1310. You let me know whether or not you think that is somehow maybe a tactic that the government can come back with. Hey, we could have segregation again. It's not safe, right, to let the gays next to the heterosexuals. There's too much of a national security risk. Do you believe that? I think that's crazy. You call me at 248-848-1310. And you let me know whether or not somehow you think that's a national security risk for this don't ask, don't tell. That somehow this is a situation where they have a risk to our country. They have a risk to knowing
what's going on in the military because they're gay. Brian, what do you think? We lost Brian. Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it a national security question to have gays in the military?
No, I wasn't concerned about the national security, but you're talking about the living quarters.
So and why couldn't the... Should we segregate them?
No, maybe we should allow the... If the gays can sleep with heterosexuals, why not that the heterosexual can sleep with the women? I mean, it's the same kind of issue.
And they segregate those, right?
They segregate those because of what? Because of their gender.
Right. So you think they should stay together?
Now we segregate the gays because of their gender.
Do you
or
think,
their thoughts of their gender.
So do you think we should allow the men and women in the military share quarters?
Do I think we should? No. Do you think they should?
So do you
that
think...
That would be awkward, wouldn't it?
It has never
well, now
happened,
we let
right?
the gays... If we segregate the gays and let them sleep together or bunk together, that would be the same as me sleeping with the women.
And you don't think the heterosexual men, if they say that they are not gay, and the gay men who say that they are gay, that they shouldn't be allowed to sleep in the same quarters, right?
Well, let me paraphrase again. I guess if we know that these men are gay, if we had 10 gay men and we said, well, we're going to segregate them, let them sleep together, that's the same as bunking the men and women together that are not gay.
Well, now that there's no question that that runs up the issue that they're trying to say. Let's hide the fact that you're gay because we don't have an answer. We don't know what to do with you if you tell us you're gay. Where do we put you? Do we segregate you? Cindy in Southgate, what do you think about that? Should we keep don't ask, don't tell, or should we kick it on the high road?
Kick it down the road.
Why?
Well, because the military, you're doing a job. You know, people forget it's about a job. You're doing a mission. You're doing a job. What does it have to do with your sexuality? You know, there's sexual harassment laws in place. You know, nothing's going to happen to you. You're just going to do your job like any other workplace, and then that's it. I mean, I don't really see what the problem is, you know, why people are so homophobic about it still.
Right. We work with heterosexuals, work with gays and each other every day of the week and every job in schools and teachers. It's the living quarters, I think, that's got people up on edge. Where do we put everybody? How do we segregate them? Should we segregate, let's say you're in the military, you're a woman, I'm a man. Should we be able to share quarters or should we be afraid that just because we're heterosexuals, we're all of a sudden going to start having sex together?
I don't know. I don't know what they're so worried about. You know, they should just get over it. That's all I have to say.
Because,
you know what I mean?
Because
it's like, get over it. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is.
That's exactly right. Our society is so caught up with sexuality, with afraid of sexuality, that we come up with these arbitrary rules to try and keep people apart. And it affects so much of our life. It affects so much living in fear of other people's rules, of the government. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about this tragedy that happened here in Metro Detroit with this suicide of this little girl, this teenager. And I'm going to tell you how I think it could have been prevented. You stay tuned. This is Crime Time Live with Scott Weinberg.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. There is no justice. No justice you feel if you're a parent. If your child has killed himself for any reason, there is no justice. We read an article in the Free Press by Alicia Anderson, Gina Damron, and Joe Swickard. They did a great article on this. Wailing in pain on Wednesday, June Justice cried out that the court system abandoned her dead 14-year-old daughter while the teen accused assailant went free. A felony charge of sex with an underage girl, which would be a criminal sexual conduct charge, was dismissed against the 18-year-old Joseph Tarnopolsky in 34th District Court in Romulus. And it's because the accuser, his accuser, and this is Justice's daughter, Samantha Kelly, took her own life this last Monday after being taunted at school. I want you to tune in on this. Tarnopolsky and Samantha were neighbors at a mobile home park and classmates at Huron High School. The mother says, "My daughter did not get any justice before this, and she isn't getting any justice now." By itself, and this is where we have to focus on. This is what you need to listen to. By itself, an accuser's statement to the police is not enough to proceed with a prosecution. Now, I wanted my listening audience to know that doesn't mean that you can't have a rape case or, in the state of Michigan, a criminal sexual conduct case based on simply the accuser's word. Because 85% of the time, my friends, that is exactly what they say they have. A he said, she said case. They have a case where you have an individual, most of the time a woman, sometimes a male, who says the defendant forced sex upon me. And that word force is defined in many different ways. If you're under 16, they don't have to physically force you. The law says the force is due to your incompetency as being under 16, and therefore it is statutory rape or presumed to be forceful, as they did here in this Huron case. So if you're under 16, you are not allowed to have any sexual contact, period. Not with just anybody under 16, but anybody 16 or older. It's statutory rape in Michigan. Criminal sexual conduct, and there's 4 degrees. I won't go through the specifics of all of them, but they're all registrable crimes, my friend. And that is the legal age. But it doesn't mean that they go on anything other than the complainant's word. You have a 15-year-old who goes to the police, goes to her counselor, goes to her mom, goes to her teacher, and says she's had some kind of sexual contact with anybody. Under 16, over 16. It is considered statutory rape. Now, it doesn't mean the prosecutor's office always prosecutes them. We've had prosecutors on this show many times saying that they have certain policies, sometimes 3 years difference in age. You have a 15-year-old with their 16-year-old boyfriend. They're not going to prosecute that. You have a 14-year-old with their 16-year-old boyfriend. They don't necessarily prosecute it. They can, but they many times have policies where they don't. But you need to have the complainant, the child, be willing and able to testify that it happened, or they don't have a case. It's not good enough just to go and make a police report and then not have this complainant. They can't just use the police report. And that is what's going on with this case here in Huron Township. The child took her own life. They don't have the complainant to testify. They can't just use her statement on TV, her statement to the police. It's what's known as hearsay. And they can't just use that to prosecute someone. Because she took her own life, this other boy, this 18-year-old, isn't going to be prosecuted. And that's what's going on with the prosecutor's office. Believe me, I've been a prosecutor in the sex unit. I've prosecuted hundreds of these cases. I've been a defense attorney for 20 years. I've defended thousands of these cases. Prosecutors go forward with these cases all the time based simply on the complainant's word. So the prosecutor's office was not dropping this case because all they had was this 14-year-old's word. It's because they don't have the 14-year-old now. They don't have the complainant now. So when they say by itself, an accuser's statement to the police is not enough to proceed with prosecution, they don't mean just because it was her word. They mean because they don't have her. They don't have the complainant. The tragedy here was that no one was there to protect the child. Not necessarily prosecute the 18-year-old. You can agree or disagree whether or not you think the statutory age of consent should be 16. Because believe me, that is up for discussion. How many of us know 16-year-olds that are having a sexual relationship? How many do we know that are 15, sophomores in high school, and having a sexual relationship? And should their boyfriends or girlfriends be prosecuted and labeled a sex offender for 25 years and potentially put in jail or prison because of that? Is the age of consent proper at 16? You call me at 248-848-1310 and you let me know. Is that appropriate? Should they not have been charging this 18-year-old because he had voluntary sex, quote, voluntary, with a 14-year-old? Because the law says you can't have voluntary sex. You're not allowed to make those decisions. We have statutorily said that is not an age of consent. And anybody having sex with them will be prosecuted depending on the county, because every county's got a different policy on what to do with it. But the age of consent is still up for grabs. There's no rule that is natural that says you can't. It's because the lawmakers put in policy that this is the rule. Under 16, no. 16 year older, yes. That's the fine line. That's the bright line that they draw. Heck, they could have said under 15. They could have said under 17. It's a man and woman made law that was put into effect that affects our children's life, period, and our life, period, because of an arbitrary line drawn. You might think that's a good idea, that under 16 It doesn't matter that they're sophomores in high school. They shouldn't be having sex. That when you're 16, you should have the right to make that call. Or maybe we should leave it up to the parents. Every family's different. Listen, you'll get families that just don't care. They let their 13-year-old run around with their 15-year-old boyfriend, and they're having sex. And that's okay with them as long as they use protection. You'll get a family that is a graduating high school student. He's 18, and the family absolutely doesn't want him to have any premarital sex. You get the whole range of feelings and emotions, religious, non-religious beliefs. Who should make that call? Should it be left up to the parents? Should it be left up to the kids? Should it be left up to the legislature to say, this is the bright line, this is the line that we need to draw? And when it happens, who should choose to prosecute? Should we leave it up to a selected prosecutor in a selected county to make that choice? Washtenaw can make one choice. Wayne County prosecutor can make a choice. St. Clair County, everybody's got a different policy. You got a 17-year-old that's got a 15-year-old girlfriend. Should we prosecute him? We got a 17-year-old girlfriend with their 15-year-old boyfriend. Should we prosecute her? They're all arbitrary, selective decisions made by people with the power of the pen. And that's what we do in the executive branch. We've given them the power of the pen. They can just simply sign their name on a warrant and change the life of an individual forever. That is what we do with the power of prosecution in this state. And we've given them the power by drawing that arbitrary line. You tell me whether or not you agree. Ralph, what do you think? Do you think that we should allow that? That we should allow that arbitrary decision to be made by prosecutors? Or should it be some other kind of control? Ralph, can you hear me?
Yes.
Ralph, what do you think? You're on the air. What do you think, Ralph?
My thought is that's definitely too young. 16 is very young.
16 too young. Well, the law now is anybody 16 or older can choose to have sex.
I think they're too young.
What age should it be?
I think it should be at least 18.
18 years old.
It should be at least 18. God, they're not out of school at 16. They're too young to be. It's too young for adults to take advantage of a young.
Turn your radio off in the back, Ralph. I can't hear you.
Well, that's it. That's all I have to say. That's my opinion. It's just too young.
Well, I agree. I think that there are many people that would say that 16 is too young. But there's many people that say 18 is too young. Heck, there's people that'll say you shouldn't have sex before you're married. You know, what does that mean? You're not going to get married till you're 25? You can't have sex till you're 25?
Well, Scott, if the age was raised, wouldn't you see a lot more cases in the courts? High school kids, like it or not, are going to participate in that kind of activity.
Isn't that the question, though? Who should make the choice? Because if we make it illegal for someone under any age to have any kind of sexual contact, and I don't just mean intercourse, I mean any sexual contact, touching, anything, if we raise the age to another arbitrary level, we're increasing the ability for a prosecutor's office to bring more charges. So I don't know what the age should be, but I do know that it is arbitrarily now prosecuted in every different county. Just like in Wayne. Just like in Oakland County. They chose in Wayne County, they chose to prosecute this kid for having sex with a 14-year-old, and this 14-year-old was so traumatized at school, was so obliterated, was so manipulated, and obviously at that age was so incapable of taking care of her own emotions that she went into her room and hung herself. Now, where do we lay that blame? If they wouldn't have prosecuted someone from having sex with a 14-year-old, this girl would be alive today. Period. Is it the Wayne County prosecutor's fault? Is it the fault of the legislature because we allow prosecutions that are statutorily made like that? It doesn't matter that she would have wanted to have a sexual relationship, that we'll prosecute it anyway? You call me at 248-848-1310 and you tell me, is this ability for a prosecutor's office to arbitrarily choose who and when to prosecute, at what age, if they're having sexual relations with someone under the age of 16, is that a good thing? Or should there be a hard and fast rule? Yes, everybody under the age of 16, if they're having sex, we will prosecute the offenders. Or no, it has to be left up, let's say, to a committee or to the parents of the victim if they want to prosecute. Or left up to the victim herself, to the complainant. Who should make that choice? And that is one of the dilemmas we have in this state, all over the country, whether or not there should be any of those kind of prosecutions. I don't know. I think that there's no way that we will have a consensus in this state on what age you are allowed to have sex. Any sexual contact.
Well, and Scott, about this case in particular, what kind of law or legal things can you do with bullying in school? Because it seems like that is one of the hot topics right now about how bullying is becoming more and more prevalent. And yet, you know, maybe if this girl could have got some help, I don't know, legally, but to stop some of the bullying. I mean, it doesn't seem like you can go after the people who are doing the stuff that to her that forced her over the edge.
That is a great question, because you know why? We don't have enough control of teens in our schools to protect the teens from their peers. Now, you might sit there and say, yeah, come on, kids will be kids. It doesn't matter if it's that she came out that she was gay, she'd get ridiculed. She now came out that she was a victim because of rape. She came out and she was accused of selling drugs, and therefore she's being harassed. There are many different things that happen every single day in school that kids will be rude and crude and obnoxious, whether it's right for them or wrong. You never know what the effect is going to be on the individual. I mean, here's a girl who came out and she went on TV. You know, there's an article in the Free Press. They just wrote it with Joe Swickard. In the wake of a reported teenage sex encounter, talking about our case, it turned tragedy. There must be a better way of dealing with it than having to go on TV and talk about it. And that's what happened. She went on TV and was talking about this, and she was totally ridiculed because of that. On October 18th, she went on TV with her mother on WJBK. And she actually was talking about all the different things that happened and that it was wrong, obviously, to have any kind of that sexual encounter. And she was tortured at school because of it. MySpace, their friends on MySpace, tortured them. On Facebook, tortured her. Now, should they have jumped in and tried to have immediate counseling for this child? Taken her out of the school so that she'll be in a protected environment? She felt that she was safe enough to go back. They were considering taking her out. But no, she felt strong enough, or at least said she was strong enough, to go back to school. And then, of course, more ridicule, more bullying. And again, should we have had mandatory counseling on her where she sat for hours with the counselor at the school trying to figure if she was too sensitive or too emotionally a wreck to stay in that school, to stay in the classes? Well, here, that wasn't done. And she went home and unfortunately and tragically killed herself. I don't know if there's enough control that we can ever have to control teenagers from ridiculing their peers.
Well, and ridicule is one thing, but it seems like bullying keeps getting ramped up. I mean, like, you hear people say, well, you just get called a name, and that's fine. I mean, when I was a kid, I got called names, but I don't think I ever dealt with some of the stuff that, you know, kids are dealing with these days. And I'm not even that old, you know? I mean, I'm pretty young still, but, you know, add in Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and all this other stuff, it can get pretty intense.
Well, did you feel that you ever were, when you were in high school, that not you, but you saw other kids bullying other children and you felt, man, that is just terrible. Something should be done. And you didn't do anything about it? Because I did. You see that every time. And that was a long time ago. I was in high school, but I see it all the time with my kids. There's bullying going on and the kids just don't do anything about it.
Right.
They don't go to the teachers and say, hey, let's stop this. They let it happen.
But back then, and I shouldn't say back then, but not too long ago, somebody was bullying and he's getting made fun of. Say a kid is getting made fun of. Not that many people would know about it except for maybe, you know, the kids in his class or whoever's around at the time. Now it's extended into such a big thing where if you put it on Facebook, hundreds of people, the whole school, other schools in the area, people, you know, relatives, family, you're thinking about everyone else who can see this. You're getting made fun of, or, you know, you're being under attack. And I think the pressure builds and you know, I don't know. Can you use Facebook in a legal sense to go after some of these bullying?
Well, there are definitely rules regarding cyberbullying. The question is, it's not against necessarily the law in this state, but they're coming up with different rules. They have them in Maryland. They have them in many different states around this country where because of cyberbullying, because as you remember out east where the woman was pretending to be someone else and chastising another person on Facebook, and that basically caused that other girl to kill herself, they're prosecuting her. But we don't have those quote cyberbullying rules in the state yet. And it's a hard definition too. I mean, let's face it, people look what our kids put on their own websites. They put on their own Facebook pages, rude, obnoxious, terrible pictures of themselves drinking in college and rude and lascivious acts on their own Facebook, not realizing that someone can see it. Well, you think they should have rules against that? You think that we should have rules against posting things on your own that are self-deprecating? You know what I mean? That are having people say, why would anybody talk about themselves in that way? And yet we don't even have rules about what you can say about other people on your Facebook. Oh, you can have slanderous words. You can have libelous words. You can post something that's untrue about your enemy on your Facebook and some rude and obnoxious comment about them and have them printed out, and you can be sued for libel or for slander. But what about the bullying aspect? What about the interfering with someone living out their life in a private manner, and you've abused that by now posting something rude and obnoxious about them or their behavior? That's one of the questions. Should we have rules in this state against that type of cyberbullying? Especially if now this sensitive person goes and kills herself. I mean, who should we blame for that? Should we blame the parents for not getting involved quick enough and putting her in counseling and protecting her? Should we blame the school for allowing this bullying without nipping it in the bud? Should we blame the prosecutor's office for not going forward with these charges quick enough, arresting this 18-year-old, charging him? Should we blame the legislature for having this bright line of no sex under 16 available for prosecutors to choose to prosecute? I mean, there's blame all around, and the tragedy of this is none of it will bring back this 14-year-old kid, this little girl who decided that it was too much to bear, whether it's the cyberbullying on MySpace or the ridicule at school, and she ended her own life. Let me tell you something. If you have a child and you have a teenager like I do, it doesn't matter what the cause was of the death. There is nothing that is worse and nothing that can bring back this child. And yes, you want to lay blame. Heck, you might want to sue the prosecutor's office. You might want to sue the officials at the school. You might want to sue the 18-year-old boy and get him prosecuted or sued and then get a judgment against him and his parents for some type of negligent behavior, putting those comments on Facebook, on MySpace, encouraging this kind of trauma, this bullying, this irresponsible disregard of a 14-year-old's feelings and life. But in the end, you know what? Nobody is going to bring back this child. And that's the one thing about our civil and our criminal courts. Criminal courts are there to make people responsible for their crimes against individuals, against society. The rules are there to punish the offender. That's why they're there. Well, you might think it's to necessarily protect society, but when that judge hands down a sentence to send someone to prison, I promise you, it's for punishment, my friend. Because that person isn't getting rehabilitated in our prison system. If you think so, you go up to Jackson and you go visit that prison and see who's being rehabilitated there. It's punishment. It's confinement. That is our retribution for crimes of against individuals and victims. It's punishment. Our civil system, it's suing them. It's money, getting a judgment. Well, let me tell you something. There is no punishment. There is no money that is great enough to bring back your 14-year-old child. There is nothing that can ever do that. So you think about it. You think about, should our laws allow for that kind of prosecution? Should we leave it up to the government to decide? Or should our families be involved in that choice? Another hard choice made. We'll always bring those choices and protect your rights here on Crime Time Live. Another hour gone. I wish I had another hour. You petition this station. I want another hour. I need another hour. You call me during the week at 248-855-1400. You want to protect any of your rights. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live. Take care.